All right, this is going to be the second part of a new subject that we are covering, and it's called Remember the Memorial, which is a compilation on the Sabbath and the New Moon. And the first one I put out on the to be part of the Sabbath Bible study for the eighth day of the 12th month, and I'm going to continue in that understanding here and pick back up, and I'm going to put it all out for the same day. And so you can continue listening, but we can also have it in two parts also. If you're just now listening to this, you can go ahead and keep listening. I'm going to try to tie it together if you have some understanding on this, but if you don't, then you might want to go back and listen to the first part. All right. I want to draw attention to the fourth commandment in opening up here. And the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's going to be a very important part about what we're talking about, because the Hebrew word for remember is the word zikur. Okay, and the word zikur is used other places in the Bible and translated memorial. And that is going to be what we talk about. There is a remembrance of the Sabbath day to keep it holy that is able to be understood by the memorial of the new moon. And so that is very important. Let's go to Numbers chapter 10 real quick. Numbers 10, starting in 2, it says, make thee two trumpets of silver, a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trump, then the prince, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Now that's the first portion. I'm going to jump down to 10. It says, also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, and the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offering, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial. Now that is the word zikrun also. Before your God, I am Yahweh your God. The trumpet was to be blown to assemble the people. This is a fact attested to in the memorial of the blowing of the trumpet on the first day of the seventh month, which is where we ended off in our last message in trying to lay an established understanding for the Sabbath itself based on the lights in the heavens, and then shown to be part of the pattern, which is in Leviticus chapter 23. The Feast of Trumpets that we prior discussed, mentioned in 23 verse 24, which says, speak to the children of Israel, and saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. There's two things here that needs to be noted that are very important, and it's going to be one of the first objections that will arise among people. It's arisen for years with me, and I'm just going to try to cover it here at the beginning. The very first thing is the first day, or the new moon of the seventh month, is a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. It is called a memorial. Same exact Hebrew word being used there as far as how it's to be understood. It's a memorial of the blowing of the trumpet, a remembrance. Secondly, a trumpet is commanded to be blown on every first day of the month, according to Numbers chapter 10, where we just read, beginning of the month, or the new moon. So, in other words, many arguments are fueled by the questions on this subject. And so remember those two points. Here's a question. Why would Yahweh command a Sabbath on a new moon if every new moon is called a Sabbath and has already been a Sabbath since creation? In other words, when people find out that I believe in a lunar-based Sabbath and I teach it, they start coming up with objections. They would say, why did God have to command that the Feast of Trumpets was a Sabbath if it's always a Sabbath? It's always part of the Sabbath or the weekend. In other words, what they're thinking is, this would just be known. God wouldn't have to tell you that. All right? And that's, I guess, a somewhat a good point to some people. But my answer is, the evidence from the text also commands that the trumpet to be blown as a memorial, as a zikrun, on the new moon. Yet this was to be done, according to Numbers 10:10, every new moon. In other words, what we're told in Numbers 10:10 was that every new moon, I want you guys to blow the trumpet made of silver over sacrifices for the beginning of your months. Right? Then why is it that God had to tell the people on the Feast of Trumpets to remember to blow the trumpet, according to Leviticus 23? Well, it doesn't seem like God should have to do that, does it? If they always blew the trumpet. You see the point? The point is that this is a time of remembrance. This is something special. This is a time for remembering something. So, let's consider what that remembrance is. If we were to look at the word Zikron, and I'm going to use the Strong's Concordance so everybody who has one can follow along if they'd like. H2146, it says it's from H2142. Okay, we both have Zikron, and then we have Zikron. The two words are the same. They're the same. One being the memorial of remembrance itself, the other being the remembering. Okay, there's two tenses being used there. And of the word, one is the remembering aspect, the other one is the remembrance itself. At this point, there should be no doubt that the reason for Zikron's use is in connection with Genesis chapter 28. I've already showed a long list in the last message of how the signs, seasons, and days, which are mentioned in Genesis 1, are seen throughout the mentioning of the Sabbath. Well, now in this case here, we're drawing connections between the new moon and the Sabbath day to see if the Sabbath day and the new moon have anything in common, specifically if the Sabbath day can be the new moon or the new moon is part of the Sabbath. That's what we're looking at. So when we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember," which says Zikron, "the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your God." At the scope of Leviticus 23 is the sabbatical feasts in a yearly cycle. The fourth commandment could just as well say, memorialize Sabbath day to keep it holy. The law of the Feast of Trumpets is the template to memorialize or to remember the new moon's role in Sabbath keeping. That's what I believe. I believe it was put that way and worded that way so that the people of God, when they read it and were able to study the scriptures, they would have the ability to look back and see why that memorial was to be kept. They were to see the link of the Zikron, the memorial, the remembrance between the new moon and the Sabbath, and tie the two together. In other words, when Numbers 10:10 is talking about the remembrance to be remembered when they blow the trumpet, it was the signal for remembering the Sabbath as well. Now, does it say that specifically? No. It doesn't just come right out and say it that way, but with all of the things that we've looked at according to the lights in the heaven and having to not base the Sabbath on something that man has come up with, some cycle man has determined, but a cycle that God has determined. And this is really the cultural warfare that we are engaged in at this time in our thinking, and it's one we've been engaged in for a long time. While I believe that men of the past believed that they were doing more godly things and following the Word of God, for the most part, people have been resistant to the idea of actually complying with the Word of God and taking it as a literal word and a holistic word that is able to affect reality. And that's something that this timekeeping shows and tries to show whenever we consider how this whole thing affects our life. Now, if you're able to go on the blog on the website of Renewed Covenant Ministry, you should be able to see a chart, which is a calendar that will show you how this system will work using the new moon as your leading Sabbath in your weekend, for that matter, of the prior month, in a cycle that will continue. So that the continuation of a 7-day week will be able to be understood in a biblical context, because one of the contexts that are forgotten about is that the Sabbath is the weekend. Okay, it ends the week, and that it is not a day in itself. In other words, as we get into this understanding of the new moon, what will be noticed is that, you know, you are going to have a 7-day count that will go throughout the month, starting like the Feast of Trumpets does, from the new moon. And then by the very last Sabbath of the month, there will be an extra day or two that will be added in order to celebrate the festival of the new moon, but yet it is still in connection with the Sabbath day. Alright, and that's important because it is what keeps the commandment pure. Whenever we read the commandment, it says, 6 days shalt thou work. Okay, or 6 days shalt thou do all thy labor, or however your translation says it. The command is that we work for 6 days. Okay, we do 6 days of regular labor. But on the Sabbath, we have a time of rest. And there's no amount of days given, and there's a reason for that. It doesn't say one out of every 7 days you shall keep as the Sabbath. It just doesn't say that, even though a lot of people read that into the text. It doesn't say that at all. And that's important because if the text did say that, my argument would fall, and my proposition and supposition on this subject of lunar-based Sabbath keeping based on the lights in the heavens would be unable to be presented, and I wouldn't believe it. But because the commandment says it that way, and because the evidence of the scripture leads us that way, and because the lights of the heaven establish time, we're able to look and find all of those signs, seasons, and days that will align with the new moon, that will keep all of this in order, as well as the feastly cycles given to us in Leviticus chapter 23, that is the representation of Israel's calendar system. Okay, and it will regulate the whole thing. It will allow it all to work together. And if the commandment said specifically, on the Sabbath day, you shall rest 1 day out of seven, or something to that effect, then, you know, my argument would fall to the ground, and I wouldn't even bring it up, and I'd still be trying to understand what God wanted out of me, or I would have no questions anymore, and have decided it another way. But because it doesn't say that, and the commandment strictly follows, 6 days shalt thou work, all right, we have to believe that the Bible was written that way for a reason. We have to, as believers. Okay, it's very important. Because as we look at this further, this remembrance that I'm proposing comes from the new moon. It comes from the Feast of Trumpets. When the Feast of Trumpets is told, remember that we are to celebrate a memorial of the blowing of the trumpet, it is calling us to the remembrance of the fourth commandment and of the Sabbath itself, because that is how we remember how this cycle works in perpetuitum. We look perpetually to the heavens as the lights to show us. Now, I'm going to introduce some very, in my understanding, compelling arguments for this subject. And I like to call it showbread, show the Sabbath. Okay? Because whenever we look at the showbread out of the scriptures, and we do a comparison on it, which is one of the laws of the temple worship, which was to be coinciding with the Sabbath day, it actually helps very directly to substantiate the Sabbath placement as being with the new moon. So let's take a look at that. The law recognizes the new moon as part of the Sabbath of the people of Israel. Whenever we look at the showbread, it's a witness, and it shows how it's based upon the organic laws of the fourth creation day, which is also the fourth commandment, interestingly enough, the easy way to remember it. And we can see it in our realistic world. Look at Leviticus chapter 24, 5 through 9, and I'm just going to read a section. It says the showbread's to be set in order on the Sabbath. Okay? Showbread to be set in order on the Sabbath. All right, Leviticus 24, 5 through 9. You can go read the whole thing. Or we'll just, you know, and I'll just read it for understanding. It says, "You shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof." I'm going to skip down. "And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon a pure table before Yahweh, and you shall put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread of memorial, even of an offering made by fire to Yahweh." And then it says this, "Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant." Okay, now I'm going to compare that scripture out of Leviticus 24, 5 through 9, to Exodus 40, 17 through 24, which says this, "It came to pass in the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, and it came to pass in the first month in the second year after the going forth of Egypt, at the new moon." Now I'm reading out of the Brenton Septuagint translation. I think it just says on the first month in the King James, or the first day of the month. But it says new moon. It actually says pneumania in the Greek text. "Moses reared up the tabernacle, and he put the table," referring to the table of showbread, "in the tent of the congregation upon the sides of the tabernacle northward without the veil, and he set the bread in order of before Yahweh, as Yahweh had commanded Moses." Now notice this. It is the second month. Okay, it is the second month, or I'm sorry, it is the second year. It's the first month. Okay, so it's the first day of the first month. And Moses is on, not on the Sabbath day, but on the new moon, putting it in order. Now, what can we do here? Well, we can say Moses didn't know what he was doing. Moses made an accident, which we don't believe. Or we can come to a logical conclusion, which has already been shown based upon the lights in the heaven understanding of the Sabbath, how it's assigned season and day, that the new moon is reckoned among the Sabbaths just as it was in Leviticus chapter 23 when it talks about the Feast of Trumpets. And so the reason why Moses is setting the bread in order on the new moon is because the new moon was reckoned among the Sabbath days. That's why. In other words, they're saying the same thing. Leviticus says it, referring to the Sabbath day as a general command, but then when we are told about Moses doing it on the second year after they left Egypt, we're told that he did it on the first day of the month, which is a new moon, and the Breton Septuagint directly says it is a new moon. So I'm going to do that, or use that, and then I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and take a look also at some other thoughts about the new moon. I don't want to read it all, it's pretty long, but David and Jonathan are having a discussion. David's getting ready to hide. I hope our Bible readers know this already. They're having a discussion. David's going to hide from Saul because he thinks Saul's going to kill him, which we know is the case. And Jonathan says, David says to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I will not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field until the third day." Now that's important, so pay attention to it. "Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and you shall be missed." This is in 18 through 19. "Because your seat will be empty, and when you have stayed for 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where you did hide yourself." And then we're told in 24, "David hid himself in the field. When the new moon was come, the king sat down at meat." In 25, we're said, "The king sat upon a seat as at other times." And he supposes that David's seat is empty because of uncleanness, and so he doesn't say anything about it. But in 1 Samuel 20:27, "It came to pass on the morrow," which was the second day of the month, or of the new moon, which all types of Hebrew scholars agree to this point, as well as what you can find in the Bishop's Bible, which is quite a few translations before the King James, which actually translates it and says, "But on the morrow," which was the second day of the new moon, "David's place was empty again," making an understanding that there was a two-day new moon to be observed at this time, which will play into what I am going to make mention to about this point as we get to it. So, backing up here just to take a thought, just to remember what we just read, discussion between David and Jonathan. Jonathan says, "You're going to be missed." David says, "You're right, I'm going to be missed." And he says, "I'm going to hide for 3 days, and when the new moon's over, you come and send for me. And if your dad gets angry and he wants to kill me, we'll know it, and that'll be done." So David goes, and he does so. And by the time we get to 1 Samuel, we'll see how this plays out, because obviously, if you go and read the story, David does determine, and Jonathan does determine, that Dad was going to kill him, and so he decides to flee and to leave. Now, remember, they had this conversation, and they said, "Tomorrow's the new moon," and he says, "I'm going to go hide myself, and then you come and talk to me," pretty much after the new moon's passed. There was a two-day new moon mentioned in the Bishop's Bible, which most Hebrew scholars and Bible translators agree with that point, and I don't think they saw it as a contradiction how they understood it. There's more than enough able to be found in the document that goes along with this that you can find on the blog of the website, Renewed Covenant Ministry, for this message that will show you how and why it would not make sense that this second day of the month was the second day of the month, as in the second day, the day after the new moon, and that rather it was the second day of the new moon. But I'm not going to discuss that here because I think it could get too confusing without seeing it. So go and check that out if you're interested. However, if we go to 1 Samuel 21, as I'd mentioned, and hope you're already there, it says in 4 through 6, I'm going to start reading in 5. It says, "David answered the priest and said to him, 'Of a truth, women have been kept from us these 3 days. Since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.' So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the showbread that was taken from before Yahweh to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away." Now, why do I think this is important? Well, one of the reasons is David asks the priest for bread, if you go back and read in 4, and the priest says, "I don't have any bread but the showbread," which is what we just read about in Leviticus and in Exodus, which was replaced by Moses on the Sabbath and on the new moon. When we look at it here, what we see is that David is asking for the old bread that had come out of off the table from before the Lord, and he's not asking for the hallowed bread that was hot and just put in there in its place, but he's asking for the old bread that had just been taken away. Now, why would it have just been taken away? Well, it was just taken away because it was the new moon, which, as we had already read in Leviticus 24, it was also the Sabbath. So we then have a second example here of on a two-day new moon, nonetheless, meaning that when there is a 30-day month, an extra day between the 29th day, if you do your count starting with the first, then we have the 8th day as a Sabbath, then we have the 22nd day as a Sabbath, then we have the 29th day, I'm sorry, I skipped 15, we have the 8th, 15th, we have the 22nd, and then we have the 29th day as a Sabbath day. Well, we also have to get back to 1. So you either have a Sabbath back-to-back, or there will be an extra day in between, which will give you a 30-day-long month. And the whole time frame, I'm going to tell you, is sabbatical. It is part of the Feast of the New Moon, which we've talked about. And so if David did just observe a 2-day new moon, as is mentioned in the Scriptures, then what we have here is a substantiation that even when we have a 2-day new moon, the new moon day is the day that the bread was taken out, meaning that undoubtedly Leviticus chapter 24 is saying that it is a Sabbath. There's just really no way around it. Now, I want to also show something. I'm going to make not going to make a huge deal about this, but I think this is a very interesting statement that Christ teaches us out of Luke 6:1. Now, in Luke 6, we're told, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first. All right, to understand that better, I strongly, if you, this is entirely new to you, I strongly urge you to go and look at the chart, which will show you how the 29th day, the last Sabbath of the month, ties into the new moon. Okay, and how this works, if you have no understanding of what I'm talking about. But for those of us who do understand it, Luke 6:1 seems to be fairly interesting because it tells us there was a second Sabbath after the first. Now, some have said, well, this is referring to Pentecost, which what they don't believe generally is that Pentecost happens on a new moon like I believe, which would then just naturally make sense of this. But nevertheless, there are two Sabbaths back-to-back that is referenced in the time of Christ. Christ says, on the second Sabbath after the first. And here's how it continues. It came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn, and they did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as what David did when he himself was a hunger? And they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and he did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him. Now that should be interesting considering the subject. Number one, we're talking about a Sabbath after the first, which is what the context of Samuel's dealing with in Samuel 21 and 20, 1 Samuel. And then we also get to see him use the showbread that was taken from before the Lord on the new moon as the example, which the Sabbath after the first is what is, in my opinion, being referred to, what I'm offering from a biblical understanding to make sense of what this is talking about. I think that that's interesting. I think that that's somewhat important to see how that is tied in. Now, I'm going to go back and draw some basics to try to tie some of this together, and then I'm going to give somewhat of an understanding of how to follow what we're talking about and hope this comes out. I strongly recommend to read what I'm talking about and take time and go through it, because if you're new to this, I really think that audio messages are some of the hardest to follow these concepts out. I also think Google and the internet can do quite a bit to mess up our understanding of things too, rather than actually paying attention to how things work. Not to say you can't do that using the internet or some media of that source, but you know, the truth is you need to get involved if you want to do this, if you care. You need to get involved in the way God created the heavens there to give light upon the earth for us. So let's consider how to observe the new moon as part of the Sabbath. Remembering the Sabbath to understand the new moon, and in symbiosis, we must remember the new moon to know the Sabbath. That's what the point was on Zakur. If we go and look at this in Genesis chapter 2, it shows us that the first Sabbath available for man based on God's light time, in the first Sabbath after in the beginning. So if we look at this from a literal way, or in Hebrew, Barshith, that is that in the head of time, which is the meaning of that, the new moon in Hebrew is also called Rosh HaKodesh. All right, Barashith is the Hebrew. Rashith is how some people pronounce it. What we see here is the word Rosh, the word head in Hebrew. So we have the head of the renewed moon, but we just as well have the head of time being talked about in the beginning. So if we were to look at this as the hands of a clock given as an example, we would see the first day of creation occurring after the darkness of the new moon taking place when God says, let there be light. So we would see that the new moon would be behind the dark period, which is how new moons start. The dark period would be prior to this first creation, leading us to the time of the eighth day, according to the cycle that we described, and that can be seen on the chart. The eighth day would be the first day Adam would be able to see, if we take this 100% literal. And I'm not going to argue for whether it's literal or figurative or whatever. I'm just going to look at it from this standpoint. You can take it however you want to in application. I already know that this thing can be understood in just about any way you decide to divide it when it comes to the Genesis account, that people take it their own way. But the first thing that Adam man would have been able to see was the first, or the waxing half moon, the first quarter is what we call that. So if Adam were to start looking at the weeks from the half moon, in other words, the new moon's already behind him, the first time he saw, he wouldn't have been created yet. So when it talks about the Sabbath day in Genesis chapter 2, it would be first talking about the half moon, the eighth day, that's being referenced. Which is interesting considering some of the extra biblical type conversation that some people like to go into regarding the eighth day of creation and so on and so forth. It is important because if we look at it from a lunar perspective, it is the eighth day of the month, which gives us an answer to why some of those extra biblical writers and some biblical thought goes in that direction. The very next Sabbath after that would then be the full moon. On the next week, we call it the full moon. It'd be the 15th day of the month. And then after that, we would have what we call the last quarter, or the waning half moon. Okay, now notice what I'm trying to do here is line up the phases of the moon with the numbers that we have, the pattern. We have the 22nd day would be a half moon or a waning moon. We have the 15th day, which will always be a full moon, such as how both the feasts mentioned in Leviticus, the major feasts, are talked about. When we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, starts on a full moon, ends on a half moon, last quarter, and they both do that. So that's why I'm drawing the moon phases, the sign of the moon at this point. The final week, when we come to that, of the waning crescent, as we call it, is then going to renew the moon. We're then going to come into the time of new moon. And as seen in the example of the chart I keep referring to that nobody hearing me can see unless they're looking, the monthly Sabbath is in connection to the feast of the new moon, which in Psalm chapter 81, the trumpet blowing is once again mentioned, and the new moon is actually referred to as a feast. So the new moon is actually a festival period that takes place with the Sabbath. It's started by the Sabbath, it's ended by the Sabbath, and it's either 1 or 2 days depending on that month. And so it gives us more liberty of celebration, and we understand the heads of the tribes would have come together at this time. The sacrifices would have been given, worship would have been taking place among families and extended families. Such as how David refers to going to Bethlehem for a yearly sacrifice on the new moon, and so on and so forth. It's very important to remember that this is the way that it was used, and it was a weekend, as we look at it as like a 2 or 3 day weekend, as how we talk about it in our modern society, you know, that you basically get Friday off and Saturday and Sunday, or you end up with Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday off, you know, for Memorial Day or something like that, interestingly enough. We have no objection to that, but what we don't do is we don't follow the commandment according to Exodus chapter 20, which says, 6 days shalt thou work. And show the harmony between our understanding of an extra Sabbath being calculated, a extra period of Sabbath, so that when the Sabbath ends, the count starts to continue. This is really a cultural problem at this point, because the problem is how we view the weekend. That's what it really boils down to. Does the weekend last for 1 day, on the end of the week, or does it last for multiple days? That's the point. And so a lot of times people will say, well, Sabbath is one day, it's not two or three. Well, that's just simply never mentioned in the Bible, and there's more evidence at this point that says, follow the lights in the heaven and apply the laws relating to the signs, seasons, and days of the Sabbath to the lights in heaven, and you will come up with a lunar-based observation which must calculate the new moon into the equation in order to align things properly to fall once again on the 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th, and then to repeat itself. So we bring that 29th day, the ending of the month, and the new moon month together. And now, here's something that I think is interesting. You can use apps and NASA or Farmer's Almanac or whatever. You know, there's calculations. God has made this so that it is calculable, which I think is important to remember. It is able to be predicted. It may not look right on our sheet when we write it out because we're using our modern calendar's dates and we're using modern understanding. We're filtering it through our preconceived filter that we understand to process time, but we have figured a way to use the time that we use and to calculate the dates of new moon and phases of the moon and so on and so forth before they even happen. And so I'm not telling you that we can't use those things, but it's very important to not let a calculator do the work God has told you to observe and to remember, because by just making it another piece of paper on the wall, you start to lose, once again, the ability to worship God and redeem the time in the way that He has described for us. So, I hope by this point that this has helped set in order this understanding of the new moon and how it would work. And I'm going to leave off with a way to observe this in a natural way. I've done this myself personally in order to make sense of it. I'm not a master of it by any means, but I definitely believe that everything, your clock, your cell phone, what we're talking on right now, your computer, your Farmer's Almanac stopped producing the ability for you to reference that, which is what a lot of people do now, that you would definitely still be able to follow the Sabbath. It's so much more organic in nature that we would be able to do so without time instruments, and we would then make our own ways to understand society better based on the Word of God and on the heavens. So, if a person were to want to calculate how long a new moon is, based upon no use of paper or computers at all, which I'm not saying you can't do that. The most important thing is to align the signs of the Sabbath. Okay? That's very important to understand the seasons or the feasts that are in reference there. To understand how it's going to fall out. And one of the most important parts of understanding this and seeing it is the last half moon, or the last quarter, is what we talk about. In other words, when you finally are following the cycle that we've been describing here about the new moon, and you start at a first day, and you work your way out, and you get to the last quarter Sabbath, which would be the 22nd day of the month, always, you are going to get to this waning half moon. And on the Sabbath, the 7-day count, 6 days you work, on the 7th day you rest, in the morning, you could have went out early before morning ever came, sometime after solar midnight, actual midnight, and you would be able to look somewhere in the south direction, and you would see the moon. Okay, and that will continue until noon of the next day. Now, in that time period, you're either going to notice whether the last quarter moon is bulged, it's an absolute half, or it is a little under half. So in other words, when you're looking at it, it is telling you something. It is the language, the voice that is being heard. And the reason I'm putting this in here is because this shows that if we had minds working on this subject, if we had us trying to understand it as Christians and to apply it more than we do the pagan calendars that we use now that have no relation to God or to His Word, we would inevitably be able to figure this out with a bond of unity, but we just don't have it. So that's why I'm making this point here. If you are to pay attention to that last 22nd day in the Sabbath period and look up into the sky and see the moon, if that moon is less than a half moon, you know that you are closer in visual time, in observable time, literal time, to the new moon, giving you a one-day new moon. So in other words, you'd have the next week, you'd have on the 29th day a Sabbath day, and then you would have the first day of the month, and you'd be able to predict that ahead of time. Okay? Now, if the moon is bulged, in other words, it has a bulge in it, it's more than a half, so when you're looking at it, that line is not straight, it has more of a bulge in it, it's indicating to you that it is going to have 2 days of new moon, because the moon, by visual time of observation, it is observably closer to the full moon, which is part of last week. All right, so that sign is actually speaking to us in a language. It's telling us something. And I'm not telling you that this is perfect, easy way to do things, but I'm telling you that I would be willing to bet that probably there is a way to calculate every phase. This is just the way that I know how to do it, because I was told this by somebody who knew more than I did, who is actually not even a lunar Sabbath observer. But they just knew this information. And I've used this information to see if it works, and it works. There are some months where you are going to have to use other determiners to break the tie when it seems like it's close or it's not completely accurate. But for the most part, it's going to follow suit, and that's going to be one of the best ways to use it. Now, one of the things I want to point out here when we consider these things is the most important part is to align the phases of the moon, the signs, with the Sabbath. That's the system that we're aiming for. We're aiming to do what the Bible says and bring the two things together into a harmony, which is not what everybody tries to do with a new moon system for Sabbath keeping. Some people use the first light of the new moon as the next day after that is, and it completely throws the phases off. You will not have a 15th day full moon. You won't have the signs of the feasts to come out as properly in that way from a literal understanding of it. But in using this calibration, you will be able to, because even if you're off the first month, by using this observation, it will realign you by the next month, oftentimes. Now, I'm not speaking in absolutes, because anytime anyone speaks in absolutes, they act as if they understand everything about the subject, and I don't. And so, this is something we should all be working towards to unify the body of Christ, who wishes to worship Yahweh God by the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, and by His holy feasts that He has given us, and the new moon that is very important to Him for His worship and for His people to come together on. So, I want to make a point to make that known. I'm by no means trying to laud myself as some great scholar on the subject or anything. I do believe I have an understanding. I think Yahweh has given me what understanding I have to share with others, and that's what I'm trying to do here. And I hope that this is beneficial and it hasn't just been hard to follow, which is what I'm always afraid with whenever I do these types of messages, trying to explain things here. And I would strongly recommend to get on renewedcovenantministry.com and check out the document that goes along with this. It will not be a word for word, but it will show some stuff I can't convey in 2 45-minute messages on the subject. And I'm really hoping that I left that with a clear understanding of how to determine things without electronic use if you had to, and to show that you don't need a piece of paper on the wall, you don't need a computer with a date on it, you don't need a phone to readjust by the satellites or the cell towers. What we need is the understandings that come from the heavens that God is trying to reveal to us to understand how to worship Him in spirit and in truth.